Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Coming up on week 7 in the NFL. Rough week for the boys here last week. I'm your host, Jimmy Traynor, by the way. Went 2-4, so I don't even want to give you my name. 2-4 last week. Embarrassing and pathetic. As always, joining me, MMQB senior editor Gary Gramling, coming off a 1-2 week.
Yeah, I only lost two, so let's keep this positive.
There's the positive spin. Wow. And as always, joining us is Gary's brother Scott Gramling, the managing editor of DRF Sports Forum. He comes off a 3-3 week, the only non-loser in the room right now.
But a loser, you still have to pay the vigorish. Right. So 3-3 is losing. I was 2-2 on sides, 1-1 on totals. I am now 15-6 on sides, that once sterling record taking a little bit of a beating.
Just curious, the two totals, did you give two overs? Was there an over-under?
Yeah, I got Pittsburgh-Cincinnati under, right, correct, and I've got Seattle-Oakland over incorrect last week.
Okay, because every game goes, it's crazy, you had the one game that didn't go over with Pittsburgh. Every game's going, it's
except for the one I pick over.
Five totals this week in the 50s, and I think there's a 49 on the board. So
there's some high ones.
Defense optional in the NFL. All right, let's get it rolling, and you can lose your money early this week as the NFL keeps this London nonsense going. And at 9:30 Eastern in London, the Titans play the Chargers. Two teams in opposite directions based on last week. Tennessee shut out, sacked 11 times by the Ravens. Chargers come in after blowing out the Browns on the road. They go from Cleveland to London, Gary. Let's go to Scott first. Gary just pointed. We're going to pull the curtain here. Go break the fourth wall. Gary pointed to Scott. So we're going to start with Scott.
I want nothing to do with this game.
Go ahead, Scott.
Take it away.
All right. I like the Chargers here. I like them quite a bit. 29-4-1 against the spread against AFC South opponents since the AFC South was formed prior to the 2002 season. Chargers also 9-0-1 against the spread when facing the Titans since that franchise moved from being the Houston Oilers to the Tennessee Titans in 1998. I just think that the Chargers right now moving in the right direction, as you mentioned there, Jimmy, and Titans not so much banged up, and that line was very vulnerable. I feel like the London game starts a certain way, and then it stays that way. And when you look at the international series since the start of last season, 26-point margin of differential, point differential in the games that have been played mostly in London, but also Mexico City game. I like the Chargers here. I like them early. Get up early and get up early on your bets, and then you got some money to play with. So that's where I'm going on that.
Do you want to point at me because you don't want to discuss this?
You'll take it now.
You're ready.
Look, the biggest point I want to make about this game is nobody watch it, so they stop scheduling the 9:30 game. This is a farce. They're sending a West Coast team out to play a 9:30 game.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. This isn't how football is supposed to work. I dug up all the 9:30 results over the years, looking for some sort of trend. Rams are the only West Coast team who had to go out there and do this thing. They lost to the Giants back when Case Keenum was their quarterback in 2016.
So you think the Chargers went back to San Diego after being in Cleveland?
No. Okay. Definitely not, because you know what? I was once at a Bills-Chargers game. I can't believe I just said those words. I was once at a Bills-Chargers game. I don't know if you remember, it was a few years ago when the lights went out in Buffalo. And when we went to the airport afterward to fly back here to New York, the Chargers were in the airport flying, getting ready to fly to London. And they were all getting lubed up so they could go on the flight.
So the Chargers have been
there.
They were going
straight there for sure.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm actually Scott has a better take on this game than me. I'm leaning Tennessee just because I don't like the spread that high for, again, a West Coast team like a 9:30. It's absurd.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really have a lean. I shouldn't say I don't have a lean. I have a lean. I don't like the game. I won't bet it. I never liked those London games. There's just something about them. They're weird. I don't know. But I do think here the line is a little high. I think that Tennessee is one of these teams you can't read at all. So now coming off the shutout, I can see them going the complete opposite way and keeping this close. And I think 6.5 is a lot here. So I have the lean towards Tennessee.
See, I feel like the Titans, when they were winning early on, it was with smoke mirrors and trick plays and fake punts and that kind of thing. I think we started to see the real Titans the past couple weeks. And I think last week, certainly getting shut out and shut out at home, getting sacked 11 times. This offense just has all sorts of problems.
So the one thing I'll say in their defense, and they haven't scored a touchdown since that overtime win against the Eagles. That was the last touchdown they scored. Chargers are fairly straight up with what they do defensively. They're talented. I think Mariota's had some issues against disguise coverages the last couple weeks, and he won't see that as much. Again, I listen to Scott on this one.
Right.
I'm leaning Tennessee, but I recommend everyone listen to Scott on this one.
All right, now we go to the 1 o'clock's intriguing game right off the bat. The Patriots go into Chicago. Both teams had very noteworthy games last week, and the Patriots, you never see a line this low. 2.5-point favorites at Chicago. Gary, you ready for this one?
No, okay. I do want to start this one with a coach conspiracy theory that Andy Benoit was always told about the last couple of years. The theory was teams would go into Chicago and say the grass was absurdly long. They'd leave the grass long to neutralize the opponent's
speed. That sounds
speed
like a Belichick tactic.
And that's why the Bears were basically pulling off all these upsets at home. That's no longer their team identity.
It's going to look like Carnoustie on the Soldier Field turf.
But it's I am curious to see what this team does going forward at home against really good offensive teams, because they just haven't faced any so far this year. I like the Patriots in this. I also like the Patriots in this game because essentially the Patriots are playing the same offense they played last Sunday night. Chiefs with what they do, and Matt Nagy.
I
took
that
different every time.
I know. Matt Nagy took that offense to Chicago, so Patriots basically played the superior talent running this scheme last week. They get the B team this week. I love the Patriots in this one. I'm surprised they're not giving significantly more than a field goal.
See, to me this is a game I've seen a million times in my life in terms of betting. Everyone and their mother and their grandmother and their great-grandmother and their niece and aunt and uncle and nephew, they're going to bet the Patriots. No one will bet the Bears Sunday. Everyone will bet the Patriots because they're only giving 2.5 and they're the Patriots. And you have all the things going. But then all the things here, Patriots big win at home, go on the road. The Bears coming off a horrible loss on the road, they come back home. I will bet the Patriots as well because it's Belichick against a young, inexperienced QB who's got a long way to go, so I love that matchup. Everything here from the line to the team say Patriots, watch the Bears win the game. Scott?
Yeah, I'm leaning toward the Patriots here. I don't love them in this spot. The reason I'm leaning toward them is you look at who the Bears have played to this point in the season. They've played the Seahawks and the Cardinals and the Buccaneers and the Dolphins. This is their first real test of the year. I do see a scenario where Chicago being able to get pressure with four, which is really the way to attack that Patriots offense. And now that I know if there's high grass, I think Edelman will probably get lost in that grass and Brady can't even find him. I had to play it, I would, just because the line's so low. I feel like it's a field goal game.
That, to me, there it is. The line is so low, so everyone's going to get sucked in on it. If I had guts, I'd bet the Bears, but I don't. I don't have brains, so I'll bet the Patriots.
I'll just say, last time you said that, Jimmy, was when the Saints played the Browns back in Week 2, and everyone was picking the Saints, and then Browns didn't win, but they covered.
Right.
Listen to me. The Bears are overvalued based on that 38-point win they had against the Buccaneers at the end of September, Week 4, when the Buccaneers just rolled over. They're still overvalued here.
Here's what I would say. Is there a team in the NFL, okay, where if you saw – and take out home road. Let's say the game was at home. Let's say every game on the road. Is there a team in the NFL who the Patriots were only favored by 2.5 against? You wouldn't bet the Patriots? You never see the Patriots minus 2.5 ever. If they played any team in the NFL on the road minus 2.5, outside of the Chiefs, you'd bet them. So why? How
maybe
the Bears get
Chiefs and Rams?
Rams,
right?
Yeah.
So how the Bears get this respect is mind-boggling to me. Therefore, have the guts and bet the Bears.
That's what I'm saying. It's too much respect because of that 48-10 win skewed all the
power
ratings.
They're going to win the game outright. Watch. All right, next game. The Bills, sadly, and the Nathan Peterman experience, so automatically betting against them, betting against Buffalo is not an option now. Now it's Derek Anderson. How old is he, like 78?
I was going to say, so negative, Jimmy. They're beginning the Derek Anderson era.
Sorry, my bad. That's
celebrate.
They must be partying in Buffalo. The Bills go into...
They're always partying in Buffalo.
Yes.
The Bills go into Indianapolis, Colts giving 7.5 to the Derek Anderson led Buffalo Bills, Scott?
Last time I saw Derek Anderson play live was actually in Buffalo. Get this.
How many times were you in Buffalo? You saw them at the
Oh, once a year. Were you at that game with me?
Yep.
Oh, my
gosh.
Who
would have thought we'd have two when I was in Buffalo at this game stories?
Of the first three games.
Yeah.
Oh, and guess what? I'm going to be at the Buffalo Bears game later this month. But
we're on pace for six Buffalo references.
Yeah.
Listen to this. When I saw Derek Anderson live, he was 2-for-17 for 33 yards, Jimmy, and they won the game.
He was at Carolina, I assume?
No, he was at the Browns.
Oh, well. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Best seats I ever had for a game, by the way. Look, I think this is giving the Colts too much respect, laying more than a touchdown here. If you want a trend to go with it, Colts 0-8 against the spread when coming off a game where they gained 400 more total yards since the start of 2016. I think the logic behind that is giving them too much credit. Their defense is a little improved over last year, but it seems to be getting worse and worse every week, and I know they're kind of banged up. The Bills play hard every week, week in and week out. McDermott has them playing hard, and I kind of think here, I can't believe I'm saying Derek Anderson might be an upgrade over the rookie quarterback, who's obviously better longer term, and certainly over Peterman. I think getting more than a touchdown here, I like the Bills in this spot.
See, I'm with you. I couldn't agree more about the Bills in terms of they are trying hard every play of every game, and I love getting 7.5 against a team that plays no defense whatsoever. I'll stay away. That was such a devastating loss last week. They should have beaten the Texans easily, and then Nathan Peterman was Nathan Peterman. So that the psyche there worries me a little bit now going on the road. But the Bills, a very key thing to look for. They try hard, but last week was, a kick to the gut like you couldn't believe. Gary?
Yeah, and look, Andrew Luck is playing at an MVP level. If there's ever going to be an MVP from a 4-12 team, it might be Andrew Luck in 2017 here. But these Colts receivers are just shoveling the ball to defensive backs. Yeah. They're so sloppy out there, and that's how the Bills win games. If the Bills get three turnovers in this game, they can win this game outright.
Yeah.
And like Scott said, look, I think Josh Allen is going to be a very good quarterback in 5 years. He's not even close. He needed a year off. He needed a Patrick Mahomes redshirt year. He didn't get it. This very well could be a lateral move. I'm not going to sit here and say Derek Anderson can play. We haven't seen the guy out there in years. But
time we did, he was 2-for-17 for 33 yards.
You would think this would be a big, big, big Shady McCoy week on the ground with Anderson there. All right. We now go to Jacksonville. The Jaguars, who are beat up big time. Defense is not what it was. Giving 5 to the Texans, who have no business having the record they have if you go through their schedule. Jaguars -5 at home against the Texans, Gary.
See, I really like the Jaguars in this one. I think everyone's down on Jacksonville right now, and rightfully so. They were terrible the last 2 weeks. The issue was their pass rush couldn't get going because they faced two of the top, probably three offensive lines in football, first Kansas City, then Dallas. If you want to get right with your pass rush, face the Texans. I mean, this is a perfect matchup for the team. And you saw it last year. I mean, they in two games against the Texans, granted, Deshaun Watson only played one half of that series, but they give up 14 points. They have 14 sacks in those games. This is just a perfect matchup for the Jaguars. They will dominate the Texans up front. They have Jalen Ramsey to deal with DeAndre Hopkins. Bortles can play a C-plus game, and they might win this game by 10 points.
I disagree. I have been off the Texans all year. I don't think they're that good. I still don't think they're that good. But that defense, I think, the Jaguar offense has now shown me enough where they got a lot of problems. So I think this is just a close game. This is a field goal game from start to finish, I think. And I think the 5 is a nice thing to grab there. You'd expect the Jaguar defense here to have a little pride and step up against a weak offense, because Deshaun Watson is not nearly what he was last year. He has struggled big time this year. But the Jaguar offense is terrible. And I think the Texan defense here keeps it a field goal game from start to finish, Scott.
I don't believe in the Texans' defense at all. I think they're a bunch of big names, and they're overrated. I mean, they gave up 30-plus points to the Colts. It's hard to believe these teams have identical 3-3 straight-up records. This has got to be the least impressive three-game win streak in recent memory, right? Overtime against a bad Colts team, overtime win at home against the Cowboys team that's been awful on the road, and then a Peterman special hand you the game on a pick six against the Bills team that is very undermanned, pretty much whoever they play, maybe outside of Gary's Cardinals. But all that said, I can't say I love the Jaguars here laying that many points.
Right.
And, you know, I think they have a good defense. You just don't know how careless they're going to be with the football. You know, sometimes you look at Jacksonville -9 turnover differential. There might be value there, right? They're just so careless with the football consistently. I'm not comfortable laying the 5, so I'm staying away from the game.
I will say you're shocked by these 3-3 records. The 3-3 Titans would go to the playoffs. From that division, if it was ending today.
Instead, they're going to London.
Next game is the Lions, road favorites, giving a field goal at Miami. I'll go first in this one, and I'll keep it very short. Brock Osweiler is not winning 2 games in a row. Take the Lions and lay the 3. Scott?
Oh, man, this is a tough game. If I had to play it, I would play the Lions in this game coming off a bye. They are 5-1 against the spread coming off a bye since the start of 2012. They'll be preparing for Brock Osweiler in this one. I feel like the Dolphins pull one out against the Bears, back-to-back wins. I'm just kind of not seeing it. I don't have a great read on where to go with this game. If I had to play it, I would take the Lions here coming off the bye. That's really the best angle I could suss out. But I'm staying away from the game.
Jerry?
Brock Osweiler and his 380 yards. The only point I want to make with this game is look, those touchdowns that got the Dolphins back in this game, got that win last week, those weren't even
– Albert Wilson.
Speed. As you know, I love Adam Gase. Those were not plays that were supposed to be big plays. Those were like little, you know, let's get 5 yards on first down.
10-yard throw and 60-yard run.
And all of a sudden the Bears forgot to tackle. to get that on – those are back-to-back plays. That was insane. That is not something that can possibly be repeated. I just think with Osweiler under center, and I'm not here to sing the praises of Ryan Tannehill, but you put Osweiler under center, I mean, this is you know, a bottom five team in the NFL. And as you know, I love my Lions, so I'm getting back on the Lions bandwagon.
Only laying a field goal. Yep, off a bye week, too. All right, now the Jets at home. They are hosting the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings go in as 3.5-point road favorites against the Jets. Scott, he points to Gary. We're pointing to each other. No one wants to.
I was going to say, everyone's.
Oh, I thought it was your turn.
Everyone's backing off these games. Too many. I'm uneasy about this.
You're uneasy about Jets Vikings. No one has a feel on Jets Vikings.
No, I like the Vikings in this game. I like the Vikings getting back on track at this point. And Scott talked about it a little bit last week, and we might have been overreacting to the Vikings' defensive struggles or relative defensive struggles that they had the last first month of the season, and maybe going back to last January's NFC title game. So I like the Vikings in this one. Mike Zimmer, 13-4 against the spread against the AFC, 13-4 against the spread when they were coming off 2 wins in their last 3 games. So I like Minnesota winning this one fairly comfortably.
This is another tough one to call, I think. It really, 3.5, given that hook, is just a little too much. This is the time of year that the Jets have tended to play better, since the start of last season, 6-0 against the spread in October. It's usually post-Halloween that the team becomes downright scary. See what I did there? I didn't even mean it.
Nice.
I did sort of mean it. I was halfway through it and I did it. But I'm staying away from any more comments like that, and I'm staying away from the game.
All right. I have a funny feeling the Jets are going to pull this one out. I'm not sold. The Viking defense has really disappointed me a lot this year, and they had that. Their offense is now rolling a little bit, but I think the Jets just outscore them here.
What scares me about the Jets is just the competition that they've faced to this point in the season, and I do think that's a thing, right? I feel like you have to throw the Lions game out the window. There was just something screwy going on with that game. They came off that, they lose to the Dolphins, lose to the Browns, get blown out by the Jaguars, even in a game when the Jaguars were turning the ball over left and right, and now they're coming off back-to-back home wins, but against the Broncos and Colts, those are a couple of bottom five teams.
This would be their best win of the season, and I think they do. Well, and here's the thing: you are getting 3.5 at home, so you know you factor that in. Here's a good 1 o'clock game: the Eagles at home, giving 5 to the visiting Panthers, coming off that loss in Washington. Eagles have struggled this year. They come off a at the Giants. Interesting game. I don't know where you start on this one, Scott.
Yeah, the extra time off I think makes a difference for a team that is just now starting to get all of their regular players back, right? Wentz has been back for a couple weeks, but let's be honest. Like, he missed the preseason, missed the first couple of games. Alshon Jeffrey, same thing. I just feel like this is a team that's starting to click here. Philadelphia 9-0 against the spread at home when coming off an against the spread win under head coach Doug Peterson. You know, you've got the Eagles 5-1 straight up and against the spread at home against NFC South opponents since the start of 2014. Panthers, on the other hand, tended to be much better home than on the road. They're actually 0-4, both straight up and against the spread over the last 4 regular season road games dating back to last December. I just feel like that this is a spot where the Eagles are getting better, and I'm still not quite sure what the Panthers are after that game in Washington last week. I know you guys best bet the Panthers there. I did like the Panthers last week, and the disappointing effort, and you know, maybe this is a tough spot for them, and it's on the one hand a little more points than I would like to give, but I can certainly see a 6, 7, or 10-point win here for the Eagles.
Panthers should have won that game. Their play calling on their last drive, especially when they got down, I think inside the 20, was very head-scratching. Gary, what do you think about
that? No, I'm kind of lumping the Panthers in at this point with Washington as far as teams that they need to get out fast in these games. They need to play with a lead, and it really changes things. I think you saw that last week. DJ Moore lost 2 fumbles. I mean, that's a fairly fluky loss. That said, I mean, look, I went back and forth on this game. I at the moment I settled on Carolina, but I don't feel great about it.
Can I say this? You look at the Panthers; they were playing with the lead. I know this is a sample size of 1 in that Giants game. And the thing is, the Giants game, I'm kind of looking at almost as a loss. Right? They kick a 63-yard field goal at the end of the game, and that was a game that all the fluky things sort of fell the Panthers' way. They got that fumbled punt that they recovered in the end zone, and they still almost lost to a Giants team that's looked awful against everybody except for the aforementioned Texans. I'm just not quite sure what to think of the Panthers right now. I thought I'd have more confidence in the Panthers at this point in the season because I did like them over 9 wins going into the season for the regular season win total. Now I'm just not so sure. They just don't look like a cohesive team, and at the same time, I think it's the Eagles that are the team on the rise.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that, but I think I would take the Panthers just because I think I like getting the 5 points here. I just think it's a high line. I've been waiting all year for the Eagles to really break out. I'm not going to count them as breaking out yet because they did it against the Giants. I just think 5 is high. I could see this. I could even see the Panthers leading here and then blowing a lead late. Like I just think the line's high. I would go with Carolina. All right, let's move on to the final 1 o'clock game. The Browns visit the Bucks in Tampa. The Tampa Bay Bucks giving 3.5 points. This is one of your big totals of the week, 50.5. Scott.
I don't know what to think of this game. I really don't. I'm just going to leave it at that, really. Yep. If I had to play it, I would play the Buccaneers. But 2 teams with a lot of question marks makes it very difficult to handicap.
Gary?
No, similarly. And I would lean Browns, though. I'd say this. Watching what the Chargers did to Baker Mayfield last week, basically keeping him in the pocket where, look, everyone gets worked up when you say height matters for a quarterback. Height does matter for a quarterback. If you are confined to the pocket and you're 6 feet tall and you're not, you don't have this otherworldly ability that Drew Brees has, which most people don't, it becomes problematic. I think that's what you saw last week. I think it also maybe had a little bit to do with the tweaked ankle. I don't think the Bucks can do that to him. They change defensive coordinators this week. They're in a bit of crisis at this point. So I'd lean a big day for Baker and a Browns win here. But like Scott said, it's not a game you can be confident in.
I've been on the Browns all year, but I'm nervous now. A little nervous. I've not liked what I've seen the last couple of weeks. And this one makes me nervous. Tampa Bay. I do think, listen, firing the defensive coordinator in season is an interesting move. I can't get a read on how that's going to affect them this week. I don't think their defense will be any good. I could see this one being a lot of points, but I can't go with my Browns like I want to. I'd actually lean Tampa Bay, which is hard to believe. Now we go to the 4 o'clock games, and I think this is the best 4 o'clock game. It's the standalone 4:05 game. It's not the national game. Saints visit the Ravens. Ravens coming off the shutout against the Titans with the 11 sacks, giving 2.5 points to the Saints, who come in off a bye. Total 50. Gary.
No, well, I'll start this by congratulating the Ravens for being one of the few teams that actually tried to play defense in 2018.
I think they're going to get thrown out of the league. I'm nervous.
They are. They're at least going to stop televising their games because they
Goodell's
can't have people
ship them out.
This,
they don't want defense anymore.
By the same token, I mean, you look at the teams they played outside of Roethlisberger, you know, they played Keem's Broncos, Peterman's Bills. They got Baker on a bad weather day, and they also just dominated that offensive line. They got Titans last week. It hasn't been a very good schedule. And look, when they gave up points to the Bengals, they were a little bit banged up. But I don't know. I just don't think they can contain this Saints offense, even on the road. And I think there's something of an overreaction to Saints on the road still, and I don't really think that's a thing anymore now that the Saints can run the ball or throw the ball. I think that's sort of an outdated way of looking at it, but some of the trends I liked in this one was New Orleans. They're 6-3 against the spread over the last 9 road games, but two of those, one of them was that meaningless Week 17 game in Tampa last year. Another was a Thursday nighter in Atlanta. That was a pretty fluky game. Over the past 10 seasons, favorites outscoring opponents by 10 or more points per game after allowing 14 or less each of the previous two games, 10-34 against the spread. That's a Scott stat I'm throwing at you.
I like the Saints in this one because you hit on it. I think the Saints road thing is very overrated now, and they don't have the home field dominance that they used to have. It goes both ways. I think they're fine on the road, and I think there's going to be such an overreaction to the way the Ravens defense played last week. I think that bye week maybe helps New Orleans clean up their shoddy defense a little bit. And I think the Saints win the game outright here coming off the bye. Scott.
Okay. Saints, last 20 road games, 14-5-1 against the spread.
Yeah.
So let's toss all that stuff out. Yep. Yes, they were mediocre on the road years ago. That's not the case anymore. Gary stole my favorite betting system. Love that betting system. That's the one I had with the Dolphins last week is one of my best bets. Overvalued teams that are outscoring opponents by 10 or more points per game and coming off back-to-back 14 points or fewer in a tighter window there. It's 3-16 against the spread. So I love that. I love the Saints coming off a bye. You look at what they've done in recent years coming off that bye. They've scored a ton of points. The last 9 times coming off a bye, 8 of those games have gone over the total. And you look at them against the spread, the same kind of thing where they are 8-1 against the spread coming off the bye. And it's funny that the one game that they didn't cover was the low-scoring game. Past 2 years off the bye, they scored 52 against the Lions last year coming off a bye. The year before, 41 against the Panthers. And you look at what the Saints have done in the month of October, and I think that's significant because this team does have a tendency to start slow. They get undervalued, and then they cover spreads.
Right.
14-1-1 against the spread their last 16 October games. I think there's a lot of reasons here to like the Saints in this game, and it goes from what they've done in recent years. And this is not a team that's turned over the key positions of head coach and quarterback in recent years. So I think you can read into those trends more so than teams with a lot of turnover. And I think you look at the Ravens being overvalued. I like the Saints a lot here.
All right, the national game at 4:25. Cowboys visit the Redskins. Both teams coming off wins. Redskins giving 1.5. This might be the lowest total of the week here. Only 41.5. Shocking. Scott, what do you like in this NFC East rivalry game?
It's a tough game to call. I mean, the Cowboys have had recent success. They're 4-0 straight up and against the spread their last four visits to Washington. Cowboys coming off the big win against the Jaguars. I think they're maybe a little overvalued here. I feel like this spread should be 3 or 3.5. I think if it were 3.5, I would lean Cowboys. But with it essentially being, you know, close to a pick'em game, I'm staying away from this one.
Yeah.
No, this is really tough. I do like the fact that Washington has had that success, or excuse me, Dallas has had that success at Washington. I mean, look, this is going to be a very amateurish way of looking at it, but I'll just say this. You got two pretty similar offenses. Not really any downfield stuff going on here. They can do some stuff, have a play action. Good running games. You look at the defenses, though. I think Dallas is elite is probably overstating it,
right.
Dallas is really getting good defensively. I think Washington's a step below them. So, you know, I'm leaning Dallas in this one, but, yeah. But you know, look, it's a tough one to peg.
I agree. It's tough. I do like the Cowboys a little bit here. I don't think the Redskins are that good. I've watched them a few times this year. I feel like when they're winning games, it's because their opponents are doing dumb things. I don't like their defense at all. I will say Adrian Peterson has played much better than I ever thought he would play. But I think with Elliott getting going now with Dallas, and I think Gary hit the big nail on the head, the Dallas defense now is coming around, and I think they're going to be able to stop an offense that I just don't think is any great. Speaking of offenses, though, on the opposite end of the spectrum that are great, the Rams go into San Francisco, who lit it up against Green Bay. Who would have saw that coming with C.J. Beathard? Rams, big favorites here, 9.5 on the road. And, of course, this is one of your totals in the 50s. 52 is your over-under. Rams minus 9.5 at San Fran. Gary Gramling.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to steal another one of Scott's stats here.
Go ahead.
Road team coming off the Monday night game. That's why I'm leaning Rams on this one. And you know, I'm uneasy about it because I got burned by the 49ers last week. I really thought they were going to lose by two touchdowns in Green Bay. Look, no one's figured out how to stop this Rams offense. Broncos kind of held them in check only because the Broncos can't stop the run, so the Rams actually just ran the ball a lot last week. I think the Rams can basically put up name your number in this matchup, and I feel like I like C.J. Beathard more than most people, but I don't think C.J. Beathard can hang out in this game.
It's one of those things where you watch the game last week against the Packers, and I'm like, you know, he's not bad, but I will say the Packers in the first half of that game played as bad a defensive game as I've ever seen any team in the end. It was non-competitive in the first half. That's how bad they were. It was embarrassing. So I don't know yet how to read the Niners' offense with Beathard. I cannot see the Rams' defense playing as badly as the Packard defense was non-competitive in that first half. I'm a little nervous. The Rams, you know, Cup is going to miss this game, I believe, after that.
Correct.
Horse tackle.
He's been ruled out.
Horse collar.
He was tackled by a horse. He's out this week.
He'd be out longer than 1 week. You know, the 9.5 is just so high, but I do think the Rams can score when they want. So you got to think here a cover comes for them. It's, you know, at San Francisco, I mean, it's not really a road game for them. Scott, what do you got?
I'm leaning San Francisco here. I don't like, obviously, the road team, the team coming off the Monday night road game. But I also don't like, this is the third straight road game for the Rams.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was starting to take its toll a little bit. I mean, this was a team that was rolling through the first 3 weeks, and they had the push at home against the Vikings. Then they hit the road, really squeaked a game out in Seattle against a bad Seattle team. I know that sounds weird to say because they crushed the Raiders, but that's a worse Raiders team in the London game. Denver's awful. Rams end up winning that game by 3. I think it's too many points to lay on the road. And I do think San Francisco has enough going for it defensively that they can stay competitive in this game. I'd be shocked if they win it outright, but I could see this being one where they drag them in. They are, you know, if you read into this stuff, 49ers 8-2 against the spread when facing the Rams in recent seasons. I'm leaning San Francisco here, taking that many points at home, going against a road team playing the third straight road game.
All right, Sunday night. The Rams-San Fran was supposed to be the Sunday night game. They got flexed out when Garoppolo got hurt and then flexed into the Sunday night. The greatest show on earth, or at least in the NFL, the Chiefs. Scott's Chiefs, will he be back on the bandwagon? We will find out shortly. They are giving 6 points to the incoming Bengals. Total here, wait for it, 58. Of course, the total last week with the Chiefs and Patriots was 59, and you didn't even have to break a sweat. Scott, Chiefs minus 6 at home against the Bengals.
I think it's a tough game to call. I really have a lot of respect for the Bengals. If I had to play it, I would play the Chiefs in this spot, and I know I haven't said that the last 2 weeks, and
finally
it has
back.
Burned me. But I am back with 1 foot back on the bandwagon. I'm not both feet in. Jimmy has been driving that bandwagon and doing a great job of it in recent weeks.
What a cover last week.
I just think I think the Bengals are a formidable opponent here, and I think the Bengals can keep pace to a certain degree with the Chiefs. I don't think they're going to get blown out here, but if I had to play the game, I would play the Chiefs. I just think that 6 is probably a bit too low of a line. I think it should be a solid 7.
All right.
Yeah, I don't mind the line, and that's why I'm going with Chiefs in this one, because both teams are going to score points. This is going to be the kind of thing where it's a, you know, 45-35 type of final. Leaning Chiefs here. Don't love it, but leaning Chiefs, and that's not a line that should scare anyone off.
Yeah, to me, the Chiefs less than a touchdown at home. Sign me up. Sign me up.
I love it.
Sign me up. Two teams that, God bless you if you could figure either of these teams out. Seriously, go try to do something like solve cancer or figure out world peace. Because if you could figure either of these teams out, God bless you. Monday night, Falcons at home, giving 4.5 points to the Giants. Total here, 54.5. Gary.
I'm embarrassed to make this pick, but I'm going to make it, and I'm going to stick by it. And
the funny thing is, no matter which team you say, you should be embarrassed. Right. So,
guys, I'm picking a tie. I'm going Giants in this one. Look, this is it. This is it for Eli Manning. This is his last stand. He's got like a 4-game run against pretty soft defenses here. He is shell-shocked. It's not even an issue of protection anymore. He just got so banged up in the first part of the season that he's hearing ghosts. He's not even looking downfield anymore.
No.
They had 10 days to figure it out. They get even more extra rest coming off the Thursday night game going into Monday. This can't happen. you have a professional quarterback. You have a good coaching staff. You have all these weapons. It can't happen anymore. They have to get this going. That's my justification for taking the Giants to this. And again, I'm embarrassed by the whole thing.
But I think the one thing you have going for you is that the Falcons, if they had to stop a high school team in the fourth quarter, they couldn't. The Falcon defense is pathetic on every level. So if the Giants can't do it this week, they should fold up shop.
I mean, the first problem with the Falcons was the secondary fell apart with the injuries, and then the pass rush disappeared. The pass rush is like, well, they're not going to help out the back end. We'll take the year off.
It's pathetic. Their defense is pathetic. I mean, they can't stop. They cannot get a stop when they need one at all. It's unbelievable. I could see Barkley going nuts in this game.
my heart is with Eli, yeah, and that's why I'm
Scott?
I'm going to be going to bed early on Monday. I am not watching this game. I am not playing this game. If I end up doing anything on Monday evening, I'll probably watch the St. Louis Blues play at Winnipeg.
What's the line?
NHL. I haven't posted it yet.
All right.
That's too bad. I think it'd probably be Winnipeg minus 155.
What do you like?
I'd take the Blues early in the season.
There you go. So that's basically your summation of Giants Falcons.
Exactly.
All right, fair enough. All right, so now we go to our best bets. Who wants to go first? I'll let you guys point at each other like in the beginning. It's terrible for audio. Does anyone want to go first? Let's start with that.
You know, I'll go first. I'll get it out of the way. I hated how many favorites I like this week, but I guess that's just how it goes sometimes. I'm going Jacksonville. What do you have, Jacksonville? Minus 4.5?
I had 5.
Five. That's fine. I'll take the 5. Again, yeah. I think I just think this is such a get right opportunity for the defense, and they're just going to completely dominate the Texans in this one. I'm going the Saints, who are technically an underdog, but I'll take any points that they're getting at Baltimore, and I'll go the Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to blow out the Bears in Chicago. Plus three and a half with that one.
That's two and a half.
Two and a half, even better. Yep. Yeah, Patriots, excuse me, minus 2.5 at Chicago. And then I'm going to do two totals here. I'm going the under on Vikings-Jets, 46.5, and I'm going over on Monday night as Eli Manning throws for 600 yards and captures America's hearts.
You're going to have a lot of guts to bet an under in the NFL this season. Scott, what do you got?
I'm going to give you a six-pack again here. I'm taking the Chargers early on Sunday, laying the points against the Titans in London. I am taking the Eagles, laying the 5 points against Carolina. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills, getting 7.5 against the Indianapolis Colts. And I am taking the Saints as a small underdog to win outright against the Ravens. Those are my four sides. I'll give you two totals. I'm taking over in the Carolina-Philadelphia game, and I'm going under in the Houston-Jacksonville game.
All right, I got 5 for you this week, and I like it because I'm going against the boys here on a couple. I like the Titans plus 6.5 while eating breakfast on Sunday morning in London against the Chargers. I don't have guts. If I did, I'd take the Bears, so I'm going to take the Patriots minus 2.5. I'm not a complex man. I'm a very simple man. You see Patriots, Belichick, Brady, 2.5, you do it. Texans, I like them plus 5. I think that's a low-scoring, close game. I like the Lions minus 3 because Brock Osweiler is not going to win 2 games in a row. And since Scott has just, you know, decided he doesn't care about the Chiefs, I will lay the 6 points on Sunday night and watch Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce go up and down the field all night.
Someone's got to carry the torch here.
So that's what we got for Week 7 in the NFL. Good luck to all of you out there. We'll see you next week for Week 8 on the MMQB Gambling Podcast.
Have a profitable weekend, everybody.
Tip of the hat to Albert, another strong edition of MMQB. Did you know your favorite team has a daily podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network? Steelers fans, we have you covered with Locked On Steelers. Cowboys fans, it's Locked On Cowboys. And Chiefs fans, it's Locked On Chiefs. You get the picture. Search Locked On, your favorite team. Search on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts for Locked On, your favorite team. Or tell your smart speaker to play podcasts Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.